One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee.
It's time to open the Word once again with Evangelist Lester Roloff on the Family Altar Program.
Glory, for all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
In the message tonight, I hope you'll see and get a vision of the ministry of the church. What are we here for? Why does Jesus linger or let a person linger after they get saved? They already saved, just take them on ahead. Now, there's no doubt in my mind but what he could do that. He'd have no problem because the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, he must leave us here for some reason. Now, please let me have your attention tonight. I don't mean just on the outside. Don't just look at me. I mean listen. I mean really listen. I want this service to really amount to something for somebody and for everybody that's here. I want you to concentrate on the truth that we're going to be bringing. I call your attention to Matthew chapter 18 and verse 11. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. Must be a mighty important thing to do because that's where he came. For the Son of Man is come to save. You know what that said to me? People have to be lost or he wouldn't come save them. I'm addressing a congregation tonight and going to preach a sermon with the Lord's help to just two kinds of people tonight, and that's saved and lost. Everybody in this audience, you're going to heaven or you're going to hell. If you fall dead right now, you'll be in heaven in 60 seconds or you'll be in hell in 60 seconds. Now, don't come writing me and saying you don't believe that. I believe it anyhow. It's what the book says, and so you're all of you lost or you're saved right now. If you are lost, you can be saved before the church. You say, I don't want to be. That's the reason I'm preaching to you. I want you to be. I'm going to try to put the want to in you. Somebody said, well, you can't scare me into being a Christian. Is that right? Somebody said, I don't believe in fear. I do. I believe in fear and faith, works, after you get saved. I believe in doing everything. If I could scare you to heaven, I'd scare you right now. If I could scare you out of hell, I'd scare you right now. Why? Because I don't want you to go to hell. Wait a minute. Suppose in the morning, 3 o'clock. That's me knocking on your door. Hey, who that down there says, Brother Rule, get up! Get out of there! Your house is on fire! You say, what you trying to do, scare me? What do you mean waking me up anyhow? Let me burn in my sleep. Now, that's not so funny, is it? And yet some of you think it's strange, and some of these modernistic preachers and churches that never have an evangelism, never warn people to flee from the wrath to come. And so you're either lost or you're saved. Turn to Luke chapter 19. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Well, you'd say that's exactly what you read over there a while ago. I know it. Turn to John. John 6:12. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Talk about a conservative. Jesus was the conservative among the conservatives. That nothing be lost. Gathering up the fragments. Now turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 15. This is the lost and found column of the entire Bible. The word lost is mentioned 5 times in this chapter. And The word lose, L-O-S-E, is mentioned one time. I give you what was lost and what they did to find it. And I believe that this lost and found column develops in ascending importance. He starts off by saying, and they were criticizing him, and you notice who did it? The Pharisees and the scribes. Now you talk about trouble. You talk about problem. He had his problems, if he ever had a problem, with the Pharisees, that's the religious bigwigs and brass hats, but lost as goslings. And that other crowd was a scribe. Things haven't changed too much, have they? Well, chapter 15, book of Luke. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners. Isn't that good? Boy, that crowd of them, all of them, boy, they all came. I'd settle for that. Fact is, as much as I love y'all, I'd swap y'all off right now for a load of publicans and sinners. I tell you, and that's the crowd that went. You know why? He had a message for them. He loved publicans and sinners. I got that letter from a lady, and it's kind of amusing. I wish I still had it. But she said, Brother Olaf, I heard you talking on the radio about the only people that knew how to pray was the Republicans. And she said, I'd like to correct you. I'm a Democrat. Really, she did. I started to talk about that old publican, you know, got out and prayed. And she thought I'd talk about the Republicans. Well, I tell you what, the Republicans and Democrats both need to pray. Now, the Pharisees and scribes murmured. Look at that. Look at that. They murmured. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 whereabouts? In the fold? No, in the wilderness. In the wilderness. And go after that which is lost when? Until he find it. Now, boys, that soul went in there. In other words, just, you know, I heard a man get up and give his testimony. He said, you know, I went to see one man. I went to see this man right here. I went to see him 48 times. Now, you know, some people just keep a record of everything. I don't. But he counted 48 times. The 49th time he went to see him, the man got saved. Now, you know what he did? He just went after him until. See, that's it. I wish we could learn how to practice that word until. Until he got saved. I never forget old Marvin. Man, he didn't know beans about the Lord. And one day, one of our people went out there, knocked on the door. Old Marvin, so ignorant about spiritual things, he said, you come on in. And so he won him to Christ. Marvin got up and gave his testimony. He said, folks, I want to announce something. I got saved the first time anybody ever knocked on my door. Then he looked at the rest of us and said, I believe if y'all had come sooner, I'd have got saved sooner. Amen. Isn't it sad that we just let them go to hell? I know they're watching television. I know it's harder to visit now than ever was in the history of the world. I know that one said, listen, man, come back. I'm watching TV or something else. Folks, we have to just, somebody said, do you think we ought to just kind of horn in? Oh, yeah. That is, get in any way you can. You remember the story I told about the little boy down in Arkansas? I was thinking about that Camden over Camden, South Carolina. I was over at Camden and Hampton, and a lady came to me one day, and she said, Brother Olaf, my brother, he's lost, and he won't come to church. And I said, well, I'll go to him, and I'll be out there. And so I drove up, slammed the door. I walked up on the porch and said, Brother Olaf, he saw you coming, he's gone. He pulled out. I said, I'll come back. And this is the truth. I said, I'll come back. So I went back again. And I was dumb enough to do the same thing. I walked up to the door. She said, Brother Olaf, he's run. He saw you coming. And he'd gone. And you won't. I said, I'll be back again. I drove the third time. I didn't slam the door. I eased up that road. And I got out of the car and left the door open. I walked up on the porch. And she said, now don't knock. I said, I won't. Boy, I opened that door. And I started, and she said, Brother Wolf, he just beat it through the kitchen. I said, I'm going through the kitchen. Man, listen. I took off, said he just went out the back. I said, I see him. Said he's gone down through the garden. I said, I'm going after him. And really, boy, I turned, I believe I was faster then than I am now. I just, you talk about running. I overtook him at the end of the garden. And had, there was nothing but a solid fence down. He couldn't get out. I mean, just like you're catching a rooster you're thinking to kill for dinner. Man, I ran up to him. I said, son, I said, what are you running? He said, I didn't want to talk to you. I said, I know that, but I'm going to. Right there, brother, is where the Lord, you know what? It impressed him two things. One, that I was so fast on foot. I just flat out run that dude. And number two, he didn't know anybody cared enough to run a race to win him to Jesus. Oh, listen. I feel like running again, don't you? I tell you what. Now then, we got somebody lost, got a sheep lost, but there's only one out of 100. Man, he got 99. That's pretty good batting average, isn't it? But you know what that fella did? You know what the shepherd did? The shepherd said to 99 sheep, now y'all be good, stay around, watch out for yourself, I'm gone. Those sheep could have said, what do you mean? Where are you going? Well, he said, I just counted up, we got one lost. I'm going after that one lost sheep, I'm going. Listen, he might have climbed mountains and hills. He might have heard coyotes barking. He might have stepped over some snake. But the Bible said that he searched and looked until he found the one lost sheep. And then, what do you think he did? Let me read that for a minute. And when he found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Huh? Now, this will help you if you'll pay attention. He didn't take the sheep by the ear and said, you sorry rascal, you. You realize how I've risked my life. And pull its ear and drag it, or take the hind leg and say, I'll drag you over these rocks. I'll make you wish you'd never left. I mean, look, I left 99 sheep to come get you. Aren't you ashamed of you? Oh, no. Oh, he just took that sheep up and put it over his shoulder. And I imagine it's over on this side right close to his heart, you know. Huh? That's where you win souls. And folks, you don't ever lead anybody hitting them. I mean, you hit them in the face and they'll back up, but they won't follow. They won't follow. There's the need, leaders. A leader is somebody that leads. And you lead with your life, not your lips, or not with your hand. You lead with your life. And so, if this thing doesn't work out like it ought to, evidently, we got a bad leader, or maybe some bad leaders. And so, let's move on. I'm glad the sheep has been found. Rejoice with me, for I found the sheep which was lost. Number two, something else happened. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 90, and nine just person which need no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till, there we go, till, how many she got? 10. How many she lose? One. And she's going to get after it. Notice, number one, she lights a candle. She gets the light burning. That's the way you win soul, get your light burning. Get a broom, gospel broom. Sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I found the peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented. Now then, I want you to see the third lost and found item. It's more important than the other two put together. First of all, there was a sheep law. The man said, he's important enough for me to leave 99, go find him, bring him back. So he did. There's a woman that said, I've lost just one piece of silver, and I'm going to get me a light, number one. I'm going to get me a broom. You know, that's what we used to have in revivals. We used to have broom preaching. I never forget, my grandmother would send me to get broom weeds. Man, you cut them old broom weeds, and she'd tie them together, and she'd sweep the whole yard with them. I mean, the yard, listen, her yard was as clean as this rug. I mean, we had an old broom weed sweeper, broom, and we'd take. Now, this lady said, I'll sweep this whole house. It's got to be in the house. You know what that says to me? It's possible for you to have somebody, a member of your family, lost in your house. But I promise you this. If you can get a preacher to get the gospel broom and start sweeping and get rid of the trash, amen, sweep out the trash. Now, in the sweeping of the trash and the filth, you'll run into what you lost. And so, till she found it. Now then, number three, and this is the most precious of all, as we bring the message to a close, there was two brothers. The younger said to his father one day, I don't know, it's not all recorded, I'm sure, but he said, give me what's coming to me. And his father divided his living with him. Now, young people, that's a bad attitude. I could go right back to my home community. I could name their names. There was an old gray-haired mother, beautiful. I never forget the solid white hair. She was prosperous. Her husband had bought up land, rich black land. I want you to know they had a spread of farms. And her boys filed on her to take their inheritance away from them. I mean, those boys. Can you imagine taking an old gray-haired mother into the courtroom, and she sat there, and they presented their case, taking away from her what she and her husband had worked for. Oh, I tell you, money and the love of money is the thing that's ruined our nation. Most people live just for money and what it'll get. Prodigal son. And you know when he became prodigal? When he said, give me. That's when the seed was sown right there. Give me! And the father divided him the living, and he went into a far country and wasted all he had in riot. Now get it, all of it. He didn't have any savings. Said he wasted all of it in riotous living. Now what happens when you do that? The Bible said he came to want. There he is, ragged, rotten, rim cut, ruined. There he goes, a dragon out of town. Oh, yeah. All his marijuana friends and liquor drinking friends and all the people that spent up all of his money, all them old sorry girls and boys and men and women, boy, they didn't have much to do with him. He's through now. Here he goes. Where he going? I don't know. I'm in bad shape. Well, he comes up. You know where he goes? Goes out in the country. Knocks on the gate. The man said, what can I do for you, son? Look like you're kind of hard up. He said, I sure am. He said, I'm hungry and I need a place to stay. And he said, I wish you could help me. He said, I've just had nothing but bad luck since I left home. I got everything. I had a pocket full of money. And I'm in a bad shape. And he said, well, all right, son. I don't suppose I have any work for you. I'm just an old farmer here. Well, he said, I'd do anything. Room and board be enough for me. He said, he looked at him and maybe could tell he was a Jew. You can tell a Jew when you see one of them, usually. He said, I maybe ought not to ask you this. I don't mean to offend you at all, but would you feed my hogs? Well, I can see him rebel a little bit, but his hunger was greater than his rebellion. That gnawing away inside the tummy, he said, yes, sir, I'll feed them hogs. I may not eat any of them unless I have, but I'll feed them. And so he went out there and he began to feed them old hogs, and his memory began to work on him. Oh, yes. Are you listening? How many times? You know what? I nearly became a prodigal when I was in my teens. In fact, it was in my heart, I did. I really did. If my daddy had not really, I mean, when I made some sin plans, oh, listen, I thought I was getting to be one of the young men in the community. Melvin Edel, Papa never had any trouble, not one problem. But Lester came along, and I tell you what, I was just fixing to live it up. I thought, man, listen, I got to running, and I got to following them old boys, you know, and I got to listening to their old dirty jokes, and I began to laugh, and then I began to tell them, and hey, everybody, I said, boy, listen, I'm getting somewhere now. Look out. The old prodigal son, there he is sitting on the hog pen fence now. Do you reckon he heard what I heard a number of times? Sweet hour of prayer, my mama singing, what a friend we have in Jesus, some of those great old songs. My good times played out. My daddy, by the time I'd get ready and I'd have it all set, my daddy said, you're not going. I said, oh. I didn't look at him like that till I got around the corner, but I mean, I thought, how can anybody be so dumb and so smart at the same time? Yeah. My daddy's not supposed to be that smart. My mama, I got myself in trouble, and I come a-walking in one day, and I walked on the back porch, and oh, my daddy, I'll never forget that. There's an old cedar water bucket that hung down on this old thing that hung down, you know, hangs right there, and then there's a water shaft right there. The bucket was off, but my daddy was kind of hanging on to that old hook. I can see him now. My daddy's standing there, and I come walking in that screen door. You talk about condemned. See, Mr. Joe McElroy, the old one-eyed constable or policeman, in our little town had a Great Dane dog that I could have ridden all over town. I mean, that's the biggest dog I've ever seen in my life. I mean, he could make that dog go get in. He'd make him search anybody. He'd tell him, said, go take that sack away from him. Brother, there wasn't no problem. He'd just hand him a sack. And when he walked up to my dad, said, your boy's in some trouble. That's me, brother. When I went home, my daddy said, son, I really, ordinarily, he'd had a razor strap. He'd had a rein from the barn. He'd had something ready to go. But this time, I saw my daddy in a different light. I'd never seen my daddy with a broken heart, especially over me. Never. I'd seen him stern and firm and said, dry up! You better! And man, but this time when I walked up there, my daddy, his eyes were the funniest looking eyes I'd ever seen. He said, son, I thought I'd taught you better. And there he stood. Well, you know what? I just about cried for a whipping. I said, I wish you'd go ahead and whip me now, get this over. But I walked on through the door. Brother, when my mother stepped in the middle of the other door and she looked at me, and I'll guarantee you, I can see her tears as rolling. And she said, son, I know it wasn't you, some old mean boys you've been running with. Boy, how they trust you, how they believe in you. I was one of them old mean boys myself. Listen, my mother prayed, talked to the Lord, and right after that, God got a hold of my... I would have wrecked my life if it had not been for the close parental controls my daddy had on me. He had complete control of me. I mean, that I just got off... You know where I got it? Went off to Dawson High School. I went to Dawson High School. Oh, listen. I got to... It thrilled me to look at those old one-hour bandits, those old slotting machines, you know. Man, I'd take those nickels, those buffalo nickels, butter, 10 cents a pound, eggs, 10 cents a dozen. And my mama would give me three or four or five nickels, and I'd put every one of them in that old one arm. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine anybody being that stupid? But there I was, drifting. I'd never seen a deck of cards in my home. And the boys said, Lester, and I was trying to be one of them, you know. They said, how would you like to play me a game of pickup? I said, yeah, I don't know how to play it, but if you tell me, I'll sure play. So they got a deck of cards, threw them to the top of the ceiling, and said, now pick them up. They laughed, you know. I was learning. Oh, young people, wouldn't it have been good if you'd have never got with the wrong crowd? Evil communications corrupt good manners. And I'm preaching, we love you. We want to help you. Some of you don't want to be helped, but you need help. And you need to be saved. And so the prodigal son said, I will arise, go to my father, and say, Father, I've sinned against him in thy sight. I'm no more worthy to be thy son. Make me as a hired servant. That's it. Down the road he went. I think he told the farmer, thank you. On the way home, the most beautiful sight in the Bible. When the father looked out, as maybe he had hundreds and hundreds of mornings, and saw somebody coming. And this story is the story of love. The father never quits loving. You may act like you don't love him, turn your back on him, wander away in sin, wind up in the hog pen. That's where most people live right now. Pack all of our young people in the hog pen right now. Have no conviction at all. They tangle up with the sorriest people on earth. They begin to drink, smoke, take dope, drink liquor, live in sin, filth, immorality. Hog pen living. Miserable. And so the prodigal son, he's almost home. His father runs to meet him and falls on his neck and kisses him. Can you imagine? And he said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight. And he said, somebody go get shoes for his feet, ring for his finger, the best robe for his body, and then kill the fatted calf. Don't get one of them old scrubs out there in the pasture. Get that one I've been keeping up and getting ready for him. That's love. That's planned love. I mean, that's looking forward to having him come home. And so the prodigal son is home. Can you imagine the joy, the forgiveness, the love that he received when he got home? The lost, he said, is now found. Maybe I need to preach another message, but the older brother didn't enjoy it. There were two boys that were lost. One of them knew it, and one of them didn't. One of them confessed his sin. The other one confessed his righteousness. Ah, hear me. Folks, until you get convicted, and I don't want you to, but you may have to wind up in the hog pen before you realize that you're a sinner. And they began to be merry. They rejoiced. And they had a reunion because God still loved the prodigal son. He loves you. Though you've run, though you've gone away from the Lord, though you've turned your back on Jesus, he loves you.
Thank you for joining us today on the Family Altar Program with Lester Roloff. You may listen to the preaching and the special music of the Family Altar Program 24 hours a day when you visit our ministry website, roloff.org. We love hearing from our listeners. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please write to us at Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. Again, that's Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. This broadcast is made possible by the prayers and financial support of listeners like you. Thank you for partnering with us, and remember that Christ is the answer.